only we're looking at the peace of Christ and making peace with enemies. So we are going to examine how Jesus teaches us to make peace with enemies. Now when I say enemies, I'm not saying that we go around making enemies with people, upsetting people and saying the wrong things to upset people. When I say enemies, I'm talking about those who simply don't like us, perhaps maybe just because we are Christians, or perhaps they don't like us because of personal dislike, for whatever reason. And the need for peace, of course, the need for peace with enemies is great. We need to really strive to make peace with enemies, because enemies can be everywhere. I can give you some examples. Enemies can be in families. And we'll look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 36. If you've got the Bibles, we will be reading quite a few verses today. So if you can open Matthew chapter 10, verse 36. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. And you might say, how can this be? How can his own household, how can a man have enemies in his own household? Well, it happens. I can give you an example. You may have shared this before with some of you. I remember some time ago, I walked into a chemist shop. And I saw a man there who I haven't seen for many, many years. In fact, this person used to have a band and played at our wedding. So you can imagine, we haven't seen him for a long, long time. And he had all this medication in his hand. He's getting all this medication. And I recognized him, and he recognized me. And he said to me, oh, what are you doing here? I said, oh, I'm just picking up some medication. I think it was for my in-laws. And I said, and how are you doing? He said, oh, you can see by all this medication I've got. I said, I'm not doing too well. He was a pretty sick man. He wasn't young, but an older gentleman, but he was a very, very sick man. And he said, I'm still waiting for some more. I've got this plus some more. And then he turned around and he said to me, my son has been going to a church like yours. I said, oh, that's good. I said, where about? He said, in Werribee. I said, that's great. I said, have you asked him to pray for you, for the sicknesses and the things you got wrong with you? He said, you're kidding me? I said, why you say that? He said, I kicked him out of the house. He said, he's not never to come to my place again. Just because his son became a Christian, he's kicked him out, never to come back to this house again. Just an example that there could be enemies in our own families. Also, we could have enemies with people we don't even know. We meet them for the first time, and they're enemies. So, and I'll give you another example, and I think I only shared this with Pastor Christmas. We were in the city. I think it was Travis had to go and get a business name, and I said, I will drive you there in case we can't find parking, and I'll wait for you in the car. And we were lucky we found a parking straight away, or a blessing, whatever you want to call it. We found a parking straight away, and we walked to this place. We've done what we had to do. And on the way back to the car, there's this man which I never met, fairly big man, pushing a trolley or a pusher, whatever it was. This is in the city. And for no reason whatsoever, he started calling me in all sorts of names. Go back where you came from, and the color of my skin, and you name it. And I'm thinking, this block, I don't even know him. Why is he, why he has so much hatred for me? And maybe some of you have experienced that as well. And you know, I don't even know this block. And he went on and on and on. It wasn't where he said something and that was it. He walked away. I kept going and going, and thank God that I can tell you that I'm a Christian, because anything could have happened that day. But just to show you, someone you might not even know, someone just doesn't like you for whatever reason, again, maybe. And thank God these things don't happen. These only happen minority. In 35 years, I think this only happened to me once or twice. So we could have enemies with people we don't even know. Or perhaps at work, you could have enemies. People, maybe because you got a promotion, or you know, you got to rise. And they didn't. They get jealous. So they become your enemies. So wherever there are enemies, of course, then the need for peace is great. Jesus told us to expect tribulations. Jesus didn't say once you become a Christian, your life is going to be so peaceful and everyone's going to love you and life is going to be great. No, he told us to expect tribulations. Let's have a look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verses 18 to 20. It's John 15, verses 18 to 20. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. So Jesus shows his disciples here as servants would expect no less persecution than their master. They were to expect persecution. And because we are Christians, we can't expect that we won't have any persecutions or enemies. Jesus says, the world hated me first. So everything we go through, if people do hate us for whatever reason, Jesus knows exactly how we feel, because he went through it first. He says, the world hated me. But having said that, he also promised peace. So let's have a look in John chapter 16, verse 33. Just flick the page. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Now Jesus here gives a reassurance to his disciples on the grounds of his victory over the world. And he regards, this is very interesting here, because he regards his work as if it were already completed. And he says, I have overcome the world. Now Jesus is still alive here, hasn't died, hasn't been buried, and hasn't risen again when he won the victory for us. And yet he already here is saying to his disciples, I have overcome the world. So while we may not always escape tribulations, there are ways to reduce the conflict. And this is, we need to be very careful here to reduce the conflict. Because sometimes we can get into gossiping. When someone hurts us, and I'm not going to talk about gossiping today, but we can easily start telling everyone, all our friends, all our families, and it become a gossip. And things, instead of getting better, and instead of fixing things, it will get worse and worse and worse. And not only that, then we'll be involving other people. Instead of just the two persons or the two people involved, it will become three, four, five, and the more we spread it, the harder it gets then to reconcile. And even then, if we reconcile with the person, whoever it might be, we may reconcile, but the other person we've been telling, they might be still feeling hurt, especially if they're a family member or a friend. So we need to be careful never to gossip. So Jesus makes peace with enemies possible. We know that. First of all, by providing peace with God. And this is the most important, that he provides peace with God. Let's have a look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7. Okay, that's Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. Isn't that interesting? He will help us. If a man is at peace with God, then he helps us to make peace with enemies. God himself helps us to make peace with those enemies. And also in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus helps us to make peace with God through justification and reconciliation. So what's the first step to peace then? The first step to peace is to have peace with God. Because if we haven't got peace with God, how can then we have peace with our enemies? Jesus also teaches us to love our enemies. Now this is sometimes very hard, and you might say, how can I have peace with enemies? Sometimes it's not easy. It can be very, very difficult. But Jesus did this himself on several occasions, and that's why I said before, whatever we go through, Jesus has been through it before us, and he knows exactly how we feel. So as I said, Jesus did this on several occasions. And we look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. It's Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. This is Jesus' way. This is how Jesus would do it. To pray. If everything else fails, if we tried, we pray. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And again in Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 36. It's Luke 6, verses 27 to 36. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. But this is about love and mercy, these verses. And these verses of Scripture deals, of course, with the disciples' relationship with other men. And it is summed up in the idea of love for one's enemies. Love for one's enemies. And as difficult as it may seem, this is what we are commanded to do. And these words, as I've been reading, they Jesus' words himself. Jesus is speaking these words. Not me, not the disciples, not the apostles, but Jesus himself. But now let's look at Paul's words in Romans. Paul also spoke about the same thing in Romans chapter 12, verses 14 to 21. It's Romans 12, chapter 12, verses 14 to 21. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It's mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. So Paul here echoes the Lord's teaching, isn't he, in the Sermon on the Mount. And he tells us that the attitude of the Christian under the rule of love must be one of mercy, which is the very opposite of retaliation. The very opposite of retaliation. Now both Jesus and his apostles displayed such love. And we'll look again in Luke chapter 23, verse 34. It's Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. You think that would have been hard for Jesus to do after what they've done for him? I don't think it was hard. Because Jesus was love. That was his nature, to love his enemies. And again in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. We work hard with our own hands when we are cursed. We bless when we are persecuted. We endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. Up to this moment, we have become the scum of the earth, the refuse of the world. This is the same love that God showed towards us, didn't he? This is the same love God showed towards us when we were his enemies. To think, it's a scary thing to think that we were God's enemies at one time. It makes you shake to just think that one day, before we became Christian, we were God's enemies. Let's have a look at Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 11. It's Romans chapter 5. Verses 6 to 11. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this way, in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Here we see the security of the believer, don't we? The believers who are set right with God enjoy their new relationship. That's what we're doing now. We are enjoying our new relationship with God. Our standing is in grace with perfect security. And it is guaranteed through the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross, through the risen life of the Savior. Now peace with enemies is possible when we love God But we need to love them, our enemies, as we love God, as God loves us also. And not all enemies will appreciate that. Not all enemies will appreciate our efforts to show them love. Some they don't want it. They don't want you to love them. I've seen, most of you would have seen on TV, I think it was Friday or Saturday, about those two young kids who had parties, one I think in Werribee, one somewhere else. And one invited all these people to the internet, he had 200 there. And I think that person, that one was, even the father was very rude about it. But the other one, people just turned up, heaps of them. And there was a lot of noise, and the neighbors were complaining and about the noise, which you don't blame them. You know, when there's a lot of people, they do a lot of damage. But the father of this young man, as one of these neighbors was sort of yelling and screaming and telling him off, the father went alongside him and he tried to put his hand on his shoulder. I don't know if you've noticed that. As to say, look, we're sorry it happened and, you know, we want to apologize. But that man, he said, don't touch me. Go away from me. I don't know if you've noticed that. He wanted him to go away. Now there's this person who's trying to make peace with his neighbors by putting his hands on his shoulder. And he told him to go away. He said, don't touch me. He actually told him not to touch him. So not all people will accept that, you know. We want to make peace with them. In fact, the verse we just read in Romans chapter 12, verse 18, Paul says, if it is possible to make peace, so far as it depends on you. So Paul even prepared us there. And he knew there'll be people that will not appreciate us trying to make peace with enemies. The other person may, you know, may make it impossible for us. And it happens. It happens. People say, I don't want to know you. What I'm talking about here today is the peace with enemies that Jesus makes possible. One that transforms our enemies. It transforms our enemies. Martin Luther King Jr. said this: love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. And I thought that was incredible. Love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. And remember, it was God's love that transformed us when we were enemies. As I said before, we were God's enemies. And it was God's love that transformed us. Let's have a look at one more verse in Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. So, loving your enemies is the best hope for changing them. We can make enemies our friends. People might think it's impossible, but we can make enemies our friends. I'll give you another quick example. When I was working as a security, where we had this huge shed we had to patrol, part of my job was that if there's a box open or something comes open damaged, I used to have a big roll of tape, and my job was to tape it, make sure no one takes anything out of it. And this day, this big box came out of a container, and it was all damaged, all the stuff was on the floor. I'm trying to do my best to keep it together, and this clerk, he came out from the container, yelling and screaming at me. He said, leave that, nothing to do with that. I said, that's my job to tape it up, and it was. And he yelled and screamed. We ended up anyway, almost got challenged for a fight outside. It was so bad. I was probably three-week Christian. I was a new Christian then. And anyway, we left it to that. I sort of walked away and left that box there. I taped it and I left it there. few minutes later, I was feeling so convicted that Holy Spirit was saying, no, you shouldn't be speaking the way you spoke, and you know, you shouldn't react the way you reacted. Though what I felt I was doing was the right thing, because that was part of my job. But anyway, I kept feeling convicted, and the Holy Spirit really convicted me. So, I don't know, maybe an hour later or so, I went to this bloke and I said, look, you know, I'm sorry if I reacted, you know, I shouldn't have reacted that way. He said, no, he said, look, it's my fault. He said, that was your job, you was doing the right thing, you know, I shouldn't have done that, I shouldn't have said words I said. So anyway, we shook hands and we stayed friends for a long time with this bloke. Now I'm going back at quite a few years, and we stayed friends until he left the industry. So we can make friends, you know, we can make our enemies our friends. Now I could have reacted differently, never to speak to him for what he said to me or for the way he reacted. But no, because the Holy Spirit will not allow you to do that, will not allow you to. Even though I'm a new Christian, that was a real challenge for me. So we can make enemies our friends. And transformed by love, enemies can become friends. There's no doubt about it. You remember Joseph? You know, Joseph make his brothers who hated him his friends? You know the story of Joseph in Genesis chapter 15? His brothers were his enemies, but because he loved them, he made them his friends at the end. Did not God make us his people when before we were not his people? In fact, we were his enemies, and then he made us his people. Making peace with enemies is a God-like quality. Come to conclusion now. As Jesus stated in his Sermon on the Mount, he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. It's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. By following the Prince of Peace, we can experience peace with God through justification and reconciliation. We can peace with mankind. We can have peace with mankind through abolishing racial and social barriers. We can have peace with oneself, one that surpasses understanding and guards our hearts. Peace with families, when family members fulfill their duties to one another. We can have peace with other Christians, working and worshiping together in love and unity. Peace with enemies by transforming them into friends through God-like love. I want to encourage you this morning to enjoy such peace. We see strife all over the world at the moment. We see strife in Africa, we see strife with the Jews in Israel, in Gaza especially. There's strife everywhere. We need to enjoy such peace. Let us then prove to be true sons of God by becoming peacemakers ourselves and introducing others to Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Listen.